Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Chris Evans here, and welcome to the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky from Virgin Radio. What a week. I mean, seriously, it's been unbearable for all the right reasons. We just thought we'd explode with joy many, many times this week. Coming up, sensationally spooky illusionist Darren Brown has us hypnotised with the details of his new live show, Showman. Hot off his latest victory, boxing icon Tyson Fury literally stopped the show. Everybody in the building came up to the 17th floor to listen to what he had to say and then witness him spontaneously explode into Sweet Caroline, singing along with himself and absolutely crushing, shredding Adele and Ed Sheeran is what he did. And he was on to talk about Gloves Off, his new book, which is just an amazing read. The super talented Tom Fletcher gets us all excited about Space Band, his new children's book and album, as well as the next instalment of his Christmas classic, The Christmasaurus and the Naughty List. And hilarious duo Sheridan Smith and Pauline McLean spill the beans on their new series, Rosie Malloy Gives Up Everything. All of that and so much more to come. Vassos, kick things off. Who's first?
He's been bending your mind for as long as your mind cares to remember, and now he's coming to do it to you in person. His new show, Showman, comes to London's Apollo Theatre for 3 months from Friday. So please welcome the charming trickster we all know and love and are ever so slightly scared of. It's Darren Brown.
Hello.
Hello, Darren. How are you?
I'm very good. You have the loveliest studio.
Do you know why?
I can't imagine.
There's a reason. So we have a lovely studio anyway,
yes.
Where it is. It's gorgeous, yeah. Isn't it? By the way, welcome, welcome. Really,
thank you. Thanks for having me. This is lovely.
And it's very Christmased up anyhow. But yesterday we did this charity lunch and we went to James Blunt's Fox and Pheasant Pub in Chelsea. I don't know if you've been.
I have been, and it's
how
so
great
terrific,
is that pub?
That's all right,
it's the
say,
best,
yes.
Pub. It's
yeah,
the best.
Yeah.
And James hosted us and these people paid all this money. And I was there. My wife was there. Tom Walker, the great singer, was there as well. Uh-huh. James hosted. He was at the table, gave it all the beans. Couldn't have been funnier, full of repartee and stories. He was brilliant, you know. Oh. His staff were amazing. And then it just so happened that this morning we're having their Christmas party upstairs with Phil and Holly and Alison Hammond. And so our lunch is crushed into each other, right?
You are so blessed.
So why is the studio like this? Because they've now invited us on for a bit of post-Christmas lunch bants live on this morning at 9:57 today. So we've judged the studio up because that's what happens.
Well, goodness me. Well, thank you for having me in the middle of all that.
Well, you're very... No, thanks for coming, man. So here we go for tickets. DarrenBrown.co.uk. This is a residency. We love a residency, don't we?
Yeah, I'm about to start at the Apollo on Shaftesbury Avenue. This is my new show, Showman. I've been touring it for 10 months, which is a dream. And yeah, now it's all starting off here, which is so exciting.
So it definitely works.
It definitely works. Yeah. It's nice having 10 months to just run it in.
Because you can rehearse it and then you can road test it for real on the road around the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Which bits didn't work?
At first. Well, we sort of... Actually, it's unusual because we had one silver lining to the whole lockdown thing was that we had a couple of years to keep working on the show. So actually, it started off in much better form than it normally would. Normally, all right. The first... Because with my shows, I can't... There's only so much I can rehearse without an audience. So often they start off and, you know, you're finding your feet in the first week or so. But this was... It's just been a really dreamy thing. Reviews have been off the chart, which is lovely. It's a very personal show, so it's nice to have it well received, if that's all right to say.
Of course,
but,
it is.
Is that all right to say?
Yeah, stop apologising for being brilliant. It's fine. I do it all the time. Not apologise, just for being brilliant. Well, and I'm not. So, as a flow, as a story, because, you know, all great shows have a story, all great theme parks have a story, like, you know, each moment of our lives has a story. How do you gauge that? How do you calibrate that?
Well, I've always tried to make shows that are kind of about more than just, you know, what I do. So it's a personal show. There's a real heart to it. And I suppose that the idea behind it, the heart of it, is that when things in life are difficult, and we tend to feel most sort of lonely or isolated, they're actually the very things that bring us together. They tend to be the things that we share. And weirdly, that was the idea of the show before lockdown struck, and it was all going to go on the road the week of the first lockdown. So the show was written, it was about that, how the things in life that isolate us are the very things that connect us. And then that happened. So it's sort of about that. It gives you all the feels, as I think the young people like to say.
All the feels. That means you're slaying it as well.
Yeah, I have. Whatever that means.
I don't know what it means either. But if you get all the feels, you have to be slaying it.
It's definitely a feely kind of show. Yeah, it's a lovely thing. It's a real joy, this one.
So is it like a firework display? You know, do you start off with a few sparklers and then a few knickknacks and rip wraps, and then you have to have the big bombs at the end? Is that how this works?
There's a little bit of that. Like I think this is the 10th or 11th show that I've done. It's also the first new show that I've done for like 6 years, because I've been off, obviously, apart from COVID and so on. I was then doing Broadway before that. So it's been a while since I've done a brand new show here. The getting the ending, I think, is always the big thing. The big bangs at the end. That's always been the kind of the big challenge of each new show is how do you...
The ta-da.
How do you finish? Like, you know, because I always try and give people more than they expect. That's a big thing, you know, sort of over-deliver. But that is the fun of it. We have a couple of months of writing it, and then a couple of months of getting it up on its feet. And when it works, it's sort of such a great feeling at the start. And this one really, really does.
And even within a show that clearly works, and you're confident enough to bring it to the West End for a residency, and it's been on the road, and it's had all these sparkly reviews, sparkling and well deserved, completely justified reviews. Can you still get it wrong within that? Is that allowed?
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
well, and encouraged, I would imagine.
Well, I do. I find if everything goes right, I'll slip in a thing that goes wrong. I'll mess something up because. It's a bit like, you know, a juggler dropping a ball every now and then.
Picking up with his foot and all that.
You just have to, otherwise it all looks too easy. So I do check with every show that I've
We're
dropped,
like the opposite,
I've dropped
aren't we?
At least one ball.
Once a show, something goes right on our show.
Well,
if we're lucky.
Once a week.
Yeah.
Definitely once. Look, definitely it's happened once.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe usually
Fridays.
More than once.
Fridays. All over the place. This morning. How many times have you been on this morning?
This morning.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't do much of that. A couple of times. Maybe.
So you have been on this morning. Any tips?
So
because we're only on for 3 minutes, but we'll take what we can get. 9:57. We're on.
Silly voices. I don't know. Can I say something? Because I always forget to say this. If anyone's coming to see the show, could they please bring with them an object that has sentimental value?
Sure.
Something you could hold in your hand, you could hide in your hands. But yeah, an object of sentimental value. Obviously, look after it. But this is important if you're coming to see Showman.
Showman live in the West End begins this Friday, 9th of December, until Saturday, the 18th of March, 2023. It's a good show. It works because it's been road tested for 10 months at London's Apollo Theatre, and that's the one in Shaftesbury Avenue, not the one at Hammersmith, towards Hammersmith Roundabout. Although there's some good stuff on there as well.
But terrific.
Buy tickets for this one first and then check out whoever's playing there. Book tickets via darrenbrown.co.uk. Darren, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You're
lovely
very
to see
welcome.
You all.
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming to visit us here at the top
in
of the
your
town.
Lovely studio.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
What's better than an award-winning actor here to tell us about a brilliant new comedy? Two award-winning actors here to tell us about a brilliant new comedy being called a modern Bridget Jones. Rosie Malloy, Gives Up Everything, hits Sky Comedy tomorrow, although by episode two, she's only really given up kumquats. Please welcome Sheridan Smith and Pauline McLean.
Good morning, ladies!
Here, finally!
Good morning,
welcome
sorry we're
to,
late.
All right, whose fault was it? Come on.
We blame London.
Oh, London!
General.
London's fault again, that pesky London out there that's been around for millennia. So Sheridan, who do you play? What does she get up to?
I play Rosie Malloy. She's addicted to everything. And it's pretty much what the title says. She Rosie Malloy tries to give up everything. Yeah. But it's good fun. It's wild, crazy.
It's brave and it's honest and it's candid. And
Thank you.
It's traumatic.
You do get to see the meltdown every episode.
You
know, it's not one of those ones where they talk about you remember. Remember the time which, oh no, you see it. It's like laughing at a funeral. It's very, very funny.
Yeah, you see the DTs, you see the CTs, the cold turkeys going on as well.
Oh, yes.
So, Pauline, who do you play?
I am the mammy. I am Rosie Malloy's mother, a Northern Irish lady who, just like the rest of the family, is a little off kilter. You know, they are totally recognisable, but you find out why they're as odd as they are all the way through the series. series. And it makes sense that Rosie is the very happy mess that she is.
Yeah, and the thing about a comedy based around addiction, you know, and equally as brave topics, is that, you know, the more profound the situation, the stronger the comedy can be, because you do need, at times like this, gallows humour, isn't it? You do need, nurses will testify to this the whole time. So, Sheridan, your character, how long has she been addicted to things? We find out why. Because she has some childhood trauma. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much you want to talk about and give away.
Yeah, I don't want to give away too much. But
we've got to say something. I suppose.
Basically, well,
By the way, we've all watched it. We all love it.
Oh, do you?
No, we know. We really, really love.
Yeah,
because it's a punchy thing to base a sitcom around.
Oh, that's
but,
amazing.
But it's
Thank
happening
you.
All the time, every day, more and more, and people don't want to talk about it. But nobody knows why they don't want to talk about it. Because if you talk about it, there's a chance it could get better.
No, you're absolutely right. It's such a taboo subject. So, and I think everyone that will watch it will either know a Rosie or be like Rosie. And so I really hope it hits home. And yeah, it is hilarious at moments. And then there's loads of moving moments. And I don't want to give too much away, but I just hope people tune in and watch it. It's very close to my heart as well.
So she's a sibling. So tell us about her sibling.
So, yeah, she has a brother. She has another brother who passed. And she goes to her... It starts off with her going to her brother's wedding, which is going to be a sober event, which doesn't end well. It's kind of chaotic, isn't it?
It is, and it's just so recognisable.
I think
It's punchy, it's true to life, and Susan Nixon has written a very, very funny comedy. I mean, you know, I've been in lots of ones that weren't funny. This one genuinely is.
Which now is funny in itself.
Fabulous to sit here and tell you. It's absolutely brilliant to be able to recommend, check it out on Sky Comedy, because it is just, you will laugh and you will also go, I know that.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
I've been there. It's got great heart, hasn't it?
A lot of heart. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. And hopefully people understand it.
It doesn't hang around either. Do you know what I mean?
No.
It doesn't. It gets on with it. It gets on. It's not too brief for its own good, but it just gets some stuff hangs around.
People try too hard, don't they, to push home a message. There's no message here except have a look, have a laugh. If you recognise something great, we're not out to change anybody's life except to make the day a happier place.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, if you tune in on Sky Comedy to it, we're starting on tomorrow evening, 10 o'clock, you can actually binge the whole lot if you want.
You're very on message, aren't you? she's good,
great.
Isn't she?
I want people to know that if they don't, they can watch all six episodes.
You're like the opposite of Sheridan.
I ramble.
But you're all the fun of the fair.
I love you.
We haven't seen the final episode, but will there be a series two? What happened? What the dickens happens? What the dickens? What the devil goes on? What's going down, ladies?
Jeez, two people die. Can we have a series two? I wonder.
I don't know. I guess we'll see how people, you know, hopefully people enjoy the first series and then we'll make some more.
What else is going on? Come on, not that it has to be anything going on. That can be an annoying question. People say to me, they say, what are you doing? I say, I'm on Veg Ready every day. What else are you doing? I say, I leave the house at 4 o'clock, get back at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. What do you mean? What am I doing? What else?
Nothing except going bah humbug about Christmas. Sorry.
Oh, I love Christmas. I think I've got Gangster Granny coming out, this thing with David Walliams, and something maybe next year in the theatre.
There's never a maybe when you're involved.
Oh, Chris.
No, there isn't. When people back you for a theatrical role, that's done and dusted and bums are on seats, aren't they?
I love Chris Evans. He's the best.
Well, you finally got here. I'm so sorry. They're still blaming London, but that's all right.
No, I'm sorry.
We love London.
We love you in this show as well, so I'm sorry.
No, don't worry. Rosie Malloy gives up everything available from tomorrow, 7th of December. Very brave, fearless comedy on Sky Comedy and Now TV. That's it. We've got to go.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you.
Thanks, Basil.
Thank you, Chris.
Do you know what I'm doing now, Sheridan?
What?
Pauline, I'm going to go and drink for charity.
Yay!
Somebody's got
to
do it.
Those lovely people behind you have bid all this money to go to James Blunt's pub for lunch. So James is going to host us. Tom Walker's going to host us as well. And it's our job to drink to help people have a better life.
Nice. Oh, that sounds amazing.
Somebody's got to do it. And I've drawn the short straw this time around. What can you? Goodbye! Come here to see a show.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Vass, it's over to you.
He's the biggest, best, baddest boxer on the planet, and he sings a mean, sweet Caroline. Fresh from his latest win in the ring, his latest book, Gloves Off, is equally knockout and out now. So please welcome a man who may keep talking about retiring, but he's definitely not shy. It's Tyson Fury.
All right, Tyson.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Chris.
By
good morning,
way,
Virgin Radio.
Brilliant Christmas sweater.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll have to get you one.
What size is that?
This is a triple XL. There's plenty of room in it for plenty of turkey sandwiches.
That is massive. What a book, man. What a book.
Thank you.
It was painful reading this book, you know, for lots of reasons emotionally, but also when you describe what it's like to be in the ring from the point of view, you know, of an elite boxer, it hurts, doesn't it, Tyson?
It does. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on mentally and physically as a fighter. And it's something that you get used to over the years of practice. Yeah. For somebody random to come off the street and then try and get punched in the face, it's a whole different new level of... it's totally different, you know. If you punch me in the face today, then I'll be able to take it and maybe not have severe lasting damage. But if I punch a random person in the face...
Yeah.
Then they don't know how to take that punch, so it can be very, very difficult.
Yeah, and you know, you've got to be so careful. Of course you have, especially in your sport, you know, probably above all other sports. And Vassos was saying earlier on that lots of sport nowadays is a metaphor for the gladiatorial times of the past, but this is still very much that, isn't it?
It is. You've got two guys in there, and they're really trying to beat each other up, especially the heavyweight division. It can be ended with one single blow.
Yeah, yeah.
Which has happened many, many times in the past.
And you've got to be so careful. Is it the prayer? You talk about a prayer in the book, which is a beautiful prayer that you say for both fighters before you go in the ring. Is it always the same prayer?
Always the same prayer. Varied, really, but
can you
similar.
Give us a version of it, please, if you don't
mind? Yeah, I always say, like, just let us all do our best performances. Let both men give his best performance and let both men get out the ring and go back to his family in one piece.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this is a sport, first and foremost, but it's a brutal sport and it's unforgiving. And we've had a few casualties over the years, and I always hope that it's not going to happen with one of my fights.
Yeah, the book is brilliant. It really is brilliant. It's called Gloves Off by Tyson Fury. It's his third book. You know, and in that, with that in mind, protection for the future goes with the longevity of one's career and when to decide to call it a day. And you're still in that window, aren't you? That sort of career dilemma window. Of course, you fought just a few days ago, most recently. Where are your thoughts right now sitting here in front of me today?
Right now, I'm focused on my next fight, which is going to be around about February, March, and that's going to be for the Undisputed World Heavyweight title. So we're still working on that. But after that, you know, it's like, how long is a piece of string? How long does it go on for? How many more fights? I've retired more times than I can bear to remember.
And you're not doing that to wind us up. That's because you genuinely thought it at the time.
I definitely thought April this year that I would retire for good, but I wasn't ready. I didn't. I retired for a few months and I was very down. I went back to depression. And I thought, I can't deal with this right now. And I know sooner or later I'm going to have to deal with it and get through it. But what I'm going to do when I retire next time is I'm going to have a full-time job to go into rather than just moping around thinking I used to be a boxer.
Because time is the thing, isn't it?
It is.
You got to fill it. You can't kill it. You can't fill.
That's right.
You've tried killing time. It doesn't work, does it?
It doesn't work. I've got to keep a nice routine and got to get up in the morning for a purpose.
Yeah. Fascinating book, fascinating journey. You say in the introduction, you say, you know, most autobiographies start at the beginning. We're going to start at the end, or, you know, the present moment, and we'll go back to the beginning. I'll do that in reverse if you don't mind. So your dad was a fighter, and you said, you know, Dad, can I fight? And he said, well, let's have a look. Just tell us about that, please.
Yeah, a long time ago, I think it was around about 14 years old. My dad was always, he was saying, like, oh, don't get into boxing. He was a boxer. He's like, he didn't want us to box. He's like, oh, do something else with your life. And he was like, well, I really want to box, so let's have a little spar and see if I'm any good. My dad had about 14 pro fights. He said, right, get in the garage. So we had a little spar round. And I ended up hitting him with a body punch to see if he see if I could have any power. And I ended up breaking three of his ribs at 14 years old. So, yeah, he said, yeah, you can fight. You'll be okay.
Did he take the gloves off literally and give them to you and say, okay, over to you now? Was it that simple?
It wasn't sort of like that. It wasn't like a passing of the mantle or anything, right. But it was just like, it was sort of like a stamp of approval where, okay, you can take care of yourself, go do it.
Right, so you get the green light from Dad.
Yeah.
What do you do next?
I just followed this dream from being a little kid, like 5-6 years old. I wanted to be world heavyweight champion. And along the way, there's been so many people tell me that it wasn't possible or I won't be able to do it and the odds are stacked and, you know, all the cliche of what dream killers say. But I just ignored it and I just kept working hard and I was very motivated to be the best that I could be. And I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. I was the first person in the gym, the last person to leave. I used to work on stuff daily, the same stuff that I already know, going back to basics day in, day out, year in, year out. And I had... I've been in this game now over 20 years.
And you talk about the gym regime. It hasn't changed at all. It's a simple three-point approach, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the people have tried to get more scientific on you and it hasn't worked. So what did they try and get you to do and what do you do?
Yeah, I think, like you said a little bit earlier about this being a gladiatorial sport, it's more like a dinosaur sport, this boxing, because I feel like it's the only sport that's not really evolved over the last 100 years.
Right.
Men are still trying to punch the living daylights out of each other by any means necessary. So you can take all your computer screens and all your numbers on it and whatever and your journals and write stuff down and whatever, but I think it doesn't really matter because Mike Tyson once famously said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yeah.
And it's so true. So true. You can have the best game plan in the world. Come out, take one punch in the face. It's like, I've got to get you back.
It's
all out the window.
Isn't it? Because like you talk about stats and about science, you know, often it involves obviously racing against competitors or competing against other people, but not suffering from what they're doing to you. They can beat you by being better than you or you can beat them by being cleverer than you, but what they do doesn't physically affect you. And that's the difference with boxing. And that's why science doesn't work, maybe, because there's so much variety and spontaneity that can happen within a fight, between the ears, between the gloves, between the corners.
For sure, you know. I think it's one of the only sports where the biggest, fittest, strongest, most powerfulest guy, one who's done the most work
on the night
doesn't matter at all because anybody can win. If I do a 6-month training camp and someone does a 3-day one, if he hits me in the right place, it's done. Yeah. It does not matter. In this sport, it's, like I say, one of the only sports in the world where nothing really matters. It's only about on the night. You know, the best training team in the world. You could do anything and then pop a knee out, pop a leg out, get knocked out in one round.
Yeah.
All the work's down the toilet.
Yeah.
So it's very, very unpredictable, the boxing game. Very unpredictable.
The first third of the book is about is a story of three fights, Deontay Wilder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can you just give us the highlights? Just sell that sort of trilogy of fights to people listening, because we could go into each one individually, but it'll take too long. It's been an interesting journey, that, hasn't it?
It was. Me being a boxing fan, I'd definitely say it's one of the greatest heavyweight trilogies in the history of our sport.
Is that a real-life Rocky 1, 2 and 3?
A proper one, because the first fight we had back in 2018, Deontay was like making seven or eight defences of his title, and I was making a comeback. I'd been out the ring 3 years, abusing myself and suffering from mental health and lost 10 stone in weight loss and stuff like that. And I was coming back. So if ever there was a point where he maybe should have beaten me, it would have been in December 2018. I went over to Los Angeles. The stadium was set. Everything was ready. And we put on a great fight. And I ended up getting knocked down in round 12 heavily. And everyone thought it was over. And I made that Phoenix rising from the ashes moment where I got up like The Undertaker in round 12 and fought on and on and on. And we ended up getting a draw. But I think the draw was probably the best thing that could have happened at the time because it made it so much more popular. The rematch was then called for in demand, and a couple of fights later, we had this big rematch of the two undefeated champions, and the current WBC champion versus the reigning lineal heavyweight champion, both undefeated, both in their prime. American versus a Brit. It was a massive, massive heavyweight contest in Las Vegas. And Deontay was on real form. He'd had two more knockout wins in a row, and I had a massive cut in my fight before. So it looked like, on paper, Wilder maybe should have won the fight. But I go in there and box his head off and end up knocking him out in seven rounds to become a two-time world heavyweight champion when nobody thought it would be possible at all. It was against all odds for me to ever come back. And I, at the time, myself, like, before I made the comeback, I was thinking, like, I'd just be happy to be well again. Never mind box or be professional or anything again. I just wanted to get well again. So only a few years later to be back on top as a two-time world heavyweight champion, it was an amazing, amazing story. And then I was ready to move on after two fights with Wilder. Wilder ended up taking me to court, suing me, and he won a court case to get a third fight. And we had to throw down again, third time. Had a lot of complications going into the third fight, training camp and fight. We ended up having another amazing fight in... Both of us were knocked down. He got knocked down three times. I got knocked down twice. It was a real war of attrition. And we knocked a lot of lumps out of each other and probably knocked a lot of years off each other's lives as well. And it was one of the, it was one of the top heavyweight battles in years.
So you talk about love and you talk about loss in equal measures. It's very candid, this. You know, literally, forgive the pun, but you don't pull any punches. You tell it like it is. You give the mum the privacy and the respect, your mum, the privacy and respect she deserves. You talk about your dad, you talk about your siblings, the ones you knew, the ones you found out about. You talk about your children and you talk about loss, you know, as a parent, which is so touching. And then you talk about Paris.
Yeah.
Speak about Paris.
Paris is my wife. We've been married 14 years this year, just at our anniversary. We have six kids and we've had quite a few miscarriages as well. We would have had about 10, I think, by now. We've had quite a bit of trauma with the kids and stuff. And like I say, going into that Deontay Wilder third fight, we had problems with the little daughter born, Athena, and she was very, very ill. She had heart conditions, and it was very, very terrible for as a parent to have to go through that. And yeah. there was times where we lost her. She actually died, and they brought her back to life, and she pulled through. And now she's a perfectly bouncy, healthy, beautiful little girl and special child. Obviously, she's got a special part of the fighter in me. And I thought to myself, if this little baby, this brand new little baby, can have all this trauma, then I can go over and beat Deontay Wilder on 4 weeks' notice.
It's mad, isn't it?
I only had 4 weeks training for that fight, the biggest fight of my life. I trained for 4 weeks. The week before that, I was in the hospital, in Alderay Hospital in Liverpool, laying on the hospital floor with a child. Don't know if it's coming or going. So it was a tough time.
What about Alderhay Hospital? What about children's hospitals? Come on.
Unbelievable, you know. The support we had there at Alderhay and Ronald McDonald House, the hotel that's next door to the hospital where the parents can stay there. They do a fantastic job. These hospitals are all underpaid and overworked, and I, for one, would be voting for a pay rise for them. You know, they do a fantastic job and they do it day in, day out, day in, day out. So that goes off to them. Special, amazing people.
Amazing. Happy Christmas, Tyson Fury.
Happy Christmas to everybody, and thanks for listening. Good luck, and God bless everybody.
Gloves off, Fury. The autobiography is out now.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
He knows how to fill a dance floor, thrill on a dance floor, and he knows his way around a story just as well as a samba. His new kids' book, Space Band, and accompanying album, Space Band, the album, are both out now. So please welcome a man who can McFly me to the moon anytime he likes. Tom Fletcher.
Very good. Hello, Tom.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
You are great.
Yeah, I'm great. Feel great. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. So this new book, which we haven't reviewed, we've reviewed the wrong book. Have you heard about this?
Well, there are a lot of books, so
I don't
blame
books.
You.
We could talk about all the books. Tom Fletcher's Space Band. The Out of This World, New Adventure from the number one bestseller, Tom Fletcher. Can the worst band in the world become the best band in the universe? I am told that this combines two of your biggest loves, apart from your family, of course, music and space. How much are you into space, first of all?
Oh, I love space. I went to space camp when I was a kid.
Did you?
Yeah, it was incredible. I was born in 85, so I grew up, you know, on the back of, the brilliant sci-fi movies of like the 80s and the early 90s. So, the band is called McFly because of Back to the Future, and I loved Star Wars and... I loved space and science fiction. But since starting to write kids' books, I knew I wanted to write about a band. So I was like, well, Maybe I should just do both in one.
Yeah, well, see, now you've drawn clearly from the life of McFly, haven't you? Because every band starts, not necessarily as the worst band in the world, but as an unheard-of band in the world. Perhaps, you know, maybe, you know, as bad as they're going to be to as good as they're going to get. So you have some previous here.
Yeah, well, you saw us right at the beginning when we were probably the worst band in the world.
No, you really weren't, by the way. I loved you straight off the bat.
Oh, well, thank you very much. But no, it was great. It's been really fun, actually, writing about something I know about, you know, and you know, so the kid in the book, he wants to be in a band, to be a musician, and the book is essentially his lyric book, so he's trying to learn how to write songs, and his idol writes all of his experiences down for inspiration for songs. So you're reading this kid writing down all of his experiences for songwriting inspiration. So it's been really, and I was that kid, so it's the first time I've been able to write about,
you
know, my
own
life.
Still are.
I still am,
aren't you?
Kid,
yeah. That's the thing. George Rackett.
That's right, yeah, George
Okay,
Rackett.
Tell us about his mates.
So there's George, Bash and Neela. So they're the band. And they, you know, they're not brilliant at the beginning, but they give it a good go and they get beamed up into space and find themselves entered into an intergalactic battle of the bands and having to try to save the planet.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Why not do it, man? A bigger magnifying glass, more spotlights and not here on Earth, in the universe. Is that sometimes how it feels?
It is a bit, yeah, it is kind of out in this world, you know, being on stage. It's, yeah, it is, yeah, it's amazing, you know. And it's been really fun being able to write about, you know, the bits of being in a band that you only know about if you're in a band. Like, you know, the best thing about being on tour, a lot of people think, will be being on stage and playing shows, which is amazing. But really, it's the food and the catering backstage. And being able to write, like, little kind of bits like that in has been really fun.
And you can almost eat as much as you want because you're working out so much on stage.
Because you burn it off on stage, yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to everyone else who's around. Because I've been on, you know, quite a few film sets, been backstage a lot of various festivals. You know, and all you can smell is gorgeous food all the time, which is fine if you're moving at some point in the day, but if you're not, sometimes you can convince yourself that you are, and that's where the issue is.
Yeah, right. Although you have to time it right if you're going on stage.
Of course you do.
Because the worst thing is, you know, indulging in all of those things that are there and then stepping on stage and jumping around.
I had a mate who's really, really, really well known. In fact, I'll tell you his name. He used to love a full Sunday roast 15 minutes before he did a live show, which I've never understood. I mean, there's plenty of him. Of course there is. But I never got that. Often with apple pie and custard to follow. And then he'd go, all right, we're ready. We're ready. Come on, let's do this now. Let's do this now, shall we? So for a battle of the bands, even intergalactically, you need other bands to battle against.
Yes. Actually, this was really fun because my little boys, they have a band of their own. So I've got three little boys who are 8, 6 and 4. And so they have a band called Buxy. And so when I was writing all of the bands from different planets, I made Buxy one of the bands. Actually, I really annoyed them because they get knocked out of the competition. Little spoiler alert, they get knocked out of the competition quite early. And my kids were not happy about that.
I bet they weren't. Okay, so Buxy, wow. And I presume, I sense they're quite accomplished even at such a tender age as a band.
Do you know what? Yeah, they're pretty good. It's scary. It's annoying.
8, 4 and what?
8, 6 and 4.
8, 6, 4. Okay, that's
yeah,
all right.
But they came on stage at one of the McFly gigs last year.
Yeah.
About 10 minutes before we went on, they were like, we're going on stage, Dad.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I don't know if you are. And they were like, no, we are. We're going on stage. We're going to play We Will Rock You. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, you know, like, you know, the crew go on first and they do a little line check and make sure the stuff works. I was like, is it okay if they go on and just check the mics? And they were like, okay. And I thought the kids would back out because it was like 15,000 people.
No chance.
And they literally just walked out on stage. And the mics weren't on because I thought they're just going to test it. They'll stand there and then they'll come off. And my son, my eldest, Buzz, just tapped the mic and was going, it's not on. The mic's not on. So he stood there and waited for them to turn the mic on. And then he gave my other son, Buddy, a thumbs up. And he started going, dum, 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 dum. And they played We're a Rocky. I was like, how are we going to follow this? They literally just completely stole the show.
Damn those kids. Harry's son plays the drums, doesn't he?
He is. He's great. Yeah, Kit, he's a great drummer.
He's a drum kit.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Yeah, they keep talking about forming a band. So yeah, we need to keep practicing because they're going to take.
You could
over.
Have a battle of the bands with your own kids.
I know. Yeah, they would win. They would 100% win.
But each of your
between
kids,
them.
Yeah.
No, we should not start interband kid competitions.
Why not? Come on, Tom. We're bringing back 500 words next year with the Queen now as the head judge because she used to be the Duchess of Cornwall, but she's our head judge. Would you like to get involved with that?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, that's a done deal if you like.
I love that you always ask me stuff on air that you know.
So anyway,
I would do it, of course.
No,
anyway,
so you don't have to, by the way. No, I just thought you might like it.
I would absolutely, and I would love to be involved.
All right. And Space Band also have an album.
Yeah, well, this is a really fun bit of it. And it's Harry, our drummer, he's kind of responsible for that because I'd written songs as I was writing the book, not really planning to record them because I just didn't think we'd have time. And we were on tour in Brazil and the guys were asked me what the book was about. And I explained it to them and Harry was like, well, you're going to record those songs, right? And I was like, well, we're on tour. I don't really know if I've got time. And he was like, right, when we get back, we'll clear the diary. We'll give ourselves a week and we'll record it with you. And so Danny produced it. And we all recorded the song. So
love it.
Thanks to them. Yeah, so there's as you go through the book, you can scan the codes and the songs will then play.
It's so complete.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thrill, isn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was really fun. Actually, because the book is, you know, two of my worlds colliding, it's writing books, but it's about a band. It was actually genuinely really special being able to have my band be part of that and record an album for it. That
but
was
Tom,
really
what
special.
A laugh. I mean, you know, what a great exemplar you are for, you know, a work ethic, falling in love with the process. You know, first of all, choose the process that you love so you can then carry on loving it. That's really important, isn't it?
Yeah. You know? Although, do you know, I don't really care. Like, I love doing all of those things and I always feel like I don't really know how to do any of them. I just enjoy it. So I give it a good go. I don't, you know, I just started writing books, not really knowing how to do it.
Yeah.
And finally, I found my way through it. The same with music. So I just have a love of stories, I think.
Well, you have a love of life, don't you? I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, I do.
That's what you do. You're a great band. You're lovely people. I've known you forever. I hope that continues. Thanks, Tom Fletcher.
Thank you so much. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. With bells on. What the heck?
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
We've heard from a stocking full of incredible guests already with bells on. Still to come, Fearless Ocean Colour Scene frontman Simon Fowler moved us all to way beyond the realms of any useful mascara warning several times as he sang to us and talked about his new book, One for the Road, and the rip-roaring Razorlight treat us to a chat about their brand new compilation album, Razor What? The Best of Razorlight. So let's get right back to it. Vassos, who's next?
Obviously, we are impartial here on the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky, and as such, we love all semi-final Strictly celebrities exactly the same. Except we really want our next guest to win because she's our friend and she's ace. So please welcome the world beater, once of Blue Peter, always a joy to meet her. It's Helen Skelton.
And Gorka Marquez.
And Gorka Marquez.
Her dancing partner.
Bonus
he didn't get
Gorka.
Any of that intro. How does he feel about that? First of all, let's go live to Gorka. Gorka, how do you feel about not being mentioned in the intro?
It's all right. It's all about her, and I'm very happy. If she's mentioned, means we're doing the job right and we're still in the competition.
Yeah,
so.
Of course. Both live on Zoom. Hello, Hells.
Hello, you're right.
Very well. How are you doing? Because the last time we talked, you were yearning, you were praying to get to Blackpool, and now here you are, you know, on the precipice of the final, my dear.
I know, one more round and then it's the final. Yeah, I think Blackpool was a real moment for us. We kind of just had a really good time. We got really good scores. A lot of things clicked for me, didn't they? And then since then, I've just relaxed a lot more and enjoy it. I remember when we last saw you, you were like, well, you're about six on the leaderboard. And Gorka's face was like, I think that was the good confidence. I think that was the boost we needed. Like, we can do better than this.
All right, Gorka, tell us about the lovely Helen's progression since we last chatted. You know, what has she got even better at than she was already?
Do you know what? I think it's only one thing that changed, really, and is her self-belief and belief that, oh, you know what, I can do this. And if I go wrong, it's fine. I want to enjoy it. So since that click, I think around Blackpool time, she's just going on Saturday day to perform, and every time that she goes in the floor, even if she thinks, oh, I might go wrong, she still enjoys it. And it's nothing better than enjoy something that you're doing, because that will make you have a good time. So it's just that, I think, for me.
Gorka,
she was already a good dancer.
Yeah, but you're also a dude, man. I mean, you teach from behind. That's as kind of Zen teaching, the way you go about your business. It's I'm sure it's benefited her massively. So, Hells, you are now, you know, you've been on Strictly so many times now because of your run to the semi-finals. Is it like, I'm not going to say it's second nature to you, but you do feel a lot more at home, I suppose, which can only help.
Definitely. And I think that's the atmosphere that everyone creates. And you've hit the nail on the head, because like some days are stressful. And you know me, I'm quite a scatty person. Apologise for the noise in the background. It's not our own. It's not my children or Gorka's children. We're in the hotel reception. There's kids running about.
It's other children.
I'm like Alan Partridge at the minute. So, apologies for that. No, I think Gorka's just good at relaxing me. Like, you put a meditation app on one day and he was like, do this. I said, I've never meditated ever in my entire life. And everyone at Strictly is just really friendly, and they make it a home from home. And I mean, they do loads for you. So it's a really lovely atmosphere to be in. They make it very easy for you to have a good time.
So you are at the pointy end of proceedings, though. Semi-finals. Did you, in your wildest dreams, think you'd get this far?
Genuinely, I just think one week at a time, and I wanted to have a good run, and I wanted to get to Blackpool. But now we're this close to the final, it'd be a lie to say I wouldn't want to get there.
Right.
But every week I always go, let's not think about next week. Let's not think about next week.
I did it for us. I did visualise her in the semi-finals.
Yeah, you did. Okay, good. That's cool, Gorka. What do you have in store for us this week? What is your strategy, Gorka, as the choreographer and the pro in your couple?
Well, it's just to keep doing what we're doing. We have two completely different dances, you know, like the day and the night, different styles. It's going to bring different characters of Helen, different emotions, different personality. So I think it's a good mix, you know, to show something like very strong, powerful, and something more like soft, romantic, effortless, and like intimate. So I think it's a good combination. And we just need to do what we've been doing the last weeks. Just go out there and have the best time together.
Gorka, honestly, answer this honestly if you don't mind. I know you're a very honest, sincere human being, very authentic. Who do you fear the most?
Who I fear? All of them, you know.
Oh.
I think
the other four
couples,
yes,
have very good dancers, and they're all very good. But you know what? For us, the only competition is ourselves.
Nice. And go out there. Good, isn't he? He's good. He's good.
Should be
a politician. how is it? Because
that's not what you told me. You told me that we're really gunning for. I'm joking.
No, I bet you've had private chats that you can't have on the radio. So last week it was Friday, and this week it's Sunday. This is the longest it's ever been between two live shows. Does that change things? You have a day off? What do you do about that? You know, it's like when you go skiing, do you have a middle rest day or what?
Everybody goes, oh, you have an extra day for rehearsals. And I'm like, well, we don't, because we've been the busiest ever. You know, when it gets to the semi-final and you have two dancers, you think, oh, I need a lot of time to rehearse. Mm-hmm. We have less time because there is more things around. So we have to juggle lots of things, you know, to make the best show. And also, she's been quite busy this week. So it's just finding time, to be honest.
All right.
Because fewer people in the competition, you've got more filming. I'm laughing about you saying he's zen. He's not zen when there's a waltz to do and a tango to do when people are filming. Come on, guys.
Oh, Hells, I'm so pleased for you. I'm so pleased for you. I continue to be a massive fan of the whole production at Strictly, the team. It's such a happy team, such a professional team. It's one of the best shows on television in the world. It's such a massive epic extravaganza every week. They never phone it in. They can't. They keep breaking their own boundaries that they've set in years gone by. It's just a wonderful and joyous thing to behold on telly. Where are you watching the football tomorrow, you two?
Oof, good question. Probably between rehearsals or in the hotel, we will be watching it.
Right, mate. Okay.
Once in Spain, I will be watching in rehearsals because I will stop rehearsals to watch the football. But unfortunately, we eliminated.
Yeah, I know. How did you feel about that, Gorka?
Not going to lie, a bit... I have my strong opinions about that.
All right, okay. And what do you think about... Who do you think is going to win, Gorka? Who do you think is going to win the football? What do you think about England-France for a start?
I think England-France is going to be a great game, and I think England has a good team. But... I would love to see a final with Portugal and Argentina, just to see one more time Messi and Ronaldo playing against each other.
All right, mate, okay. Helen, good luck. We'll all be watching.
Thank you so much. Thank you for always being so kind to us.
Okay, and if you're still in, then we'll have you on next week. If you fancy, it's up to you.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you for the support, guys. Lots of love.
You're welcome. Helen Skelton and Gorka Marquez, Strictly Come Dancing semi-finals move to Sunday this week because of the football. So the live semi-final on Sunday, results show 8:15 Monday, BBC One.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
So we got Bjorn, we got Carl, we got Johnny, we got Andy, we got Rennie, Lane. All right, back together. How's it feeling? How long has it been now? You came on the show to announce it. Here we are with Razor What, Greatest Hits, Extra Tracks, Tour, Added Dates, bada bada bing, bada boom.
Boom. Yeah, feels great, man.
Yeah?
Razor What, Greatest Hits. Yeah, amazing, man. Yeah, cool. Here we are.
Andre there behind the Razorlight Arms bass drum, very nice touch there.
It's got their hometown on it,
Richard Andre Burrows.
Really cool. I've been reading about this new, is it a documentary? What is it, what's going on?
Yeah, They made a great documentary, but no one can watch it.
Well, this is what I'm hearing, because I was trying to watch it last night. What happened?
Oh, it's late. No. Ask EMI.
Don't get me started.
Ask EMI. There's a song called EMI by the Sex Pistols. Just listen to that.
Okay, all right. Well, Andy, tell us about it. It's Fall to Pieces, yeah?
Yes.
That's what it's called.
That's right.
We will get to watch it at some point.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Maybe next week. What I've heard is maybe next week, but I've been hearing that for about 6 months.
Okay, so. Okay. Well, you know, it can't come soon enough. So, Dear Santa is what we're saying,
yes.
Yeah? Andy, what's it about? What's going on?
Well, it follows a bit of the history of the band,
right.
and then it sort of actually follows me down to the Basque Country where Johnny lives,
right,
to go and see him for the very first time in 12 years. Our first meeting is on camera, so it's quite awkward.
Right, because you were filming.
But lovely.
You were filming when you came to see us, presumably because that was part of the documentary. Do you remember when you came in?
Yeah.
That was what was going on there. Now it's all...
It all makes sense.
It all makes sense.
Yeah.
So you went down to the Basque Country. It was awkward. Of course it was.
Yeah.
Well, trepidatious. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
You know, fragile, potentially, who knows what meeting.
Yeah.
It's all on the film. You said that if you didn't get the band back together, you'd be thinking about it forever.
Yes.
Just take me through that. A bit more, please.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was one of those things that I couldn't help but, you know, you can't do anything about your dreams. And every so often, a couple of times a week, this scenario will pop into my head.
Right.
For years, and I knew that was going to go on, which is fine. They were always pretty cool dreams, big audiences and stuff, bigger than we ever played to. You know, they were quite fantastical dreams.
Maybe
I should have stayed there. But, no, I mean, you know, it was magic. And I have to be honest, it still feels surreal. Like when we came to see you on the radio for that lovely little therapy session we did with you, which we should have filmed. It was wonderful. And to be here with these four. And it's Carl's birthday today, by the
way. Happy birthday, man.
You know, it's amazing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Carl. And so how many months or years are we into the journey now? Because they say, don't they, form, storm, reform and perform. So where are we?
We're nearly at perform.
Yeah.
Yeah, nearly at perform. So we drew a storm?
No, you've done
that. Done the storm.
Oh, you've done your tempest is right up, mate.
Sweet.
Right up and down.
Excellent.
No question about that.
Yeah, and I believe you, actually.
Okay. Johnny, how does it feel for you this time? Is it any different? Is it the same? Is it a continuation? Are you back in the groove?
I love it, man. Like, a band is a band. You know, it's just like, this band should be these guys. And it's like, the sound of a band is the sound of the guys in it. So, it's just great.
Yeah. And has the Sanskara, you know, does it help? Are you more galvanized than you were before? Do you feel different as a unit?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're all a bit more chilled. I think we can hear each other better.
You seem
we've got really different ways of communicating, everyone in this band. So,
yeah.
Okay,
and the tour's selling really well. We've just announced 5 new dates.
That's amazing. I mean, like, yeah, we're just, it's all, but the dates we put on sale basically sold out and they put some more ones on. And do you know that people are coming out to watch this band like that? Oh, we were all just like, wow, you know, so honoured by that because... You know, we're doing shows as people who, like, you know, weren't born when we wrote these
songs. Yeah, and spending their hard-earned cash to come and see
you. Absolutely.
And that's the thing, isn't it?
Like, yeah, that's insane. I didn't expect that.
And you can lose sight of that. It does happen. For people who've never been involved in the business, they go, well, how could you? It's easier than you think, isn't it, Andy?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, but I think we are all in a state of, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have put this on sale and know that there are people out there that want to come see us all this time after.
So you're surprised with Loving Gratitude is what you're
Loving
surprised.
Gratitude and surprise.
That's a great place to live though, isn't it? I live there now and it's I want to live there all the time.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Who's the new employee?
Rennie Lane.
Yeah.
Rennie Lane on keyboard. Rennie's just the business. She's the best.
Where'd you come from? What's going on with you?
I'm from America.
Oh, can we put the microphone on? Is that all right? Cheers.
Well.
Oh, hello, hello. I'm from America. I'm American.
Okay.
So I'm like the Billy Preston of the band.
I like that. By the way, not a terrible comparison. Okay, Billy Preston, that is so super cool. How many Beatles tracks did Billy Preston play on?
Oh, I don't know.
Many, many.
Many.
Many, many. How are you finding it?
Oh, I love it. I've been playing in the band for about 4 years now. So
okay.
I kind of got to see the whole process happen with them getting together, which was really a privilege.
Right. Now, that's interesting. Okay. From a not neutral point of view, but from a more stable point of view, if I'm allowed to say that, what was it like for you? What did you think about it?
Well, when Johnny told me at first he was starting to talk to Andy, I felt really excited because when I first was introduced to the band, you know, I just heard all those classic albums, the first two albums. And so, yeah, I really started to get excited, and I just had my fingers crossed behind my back the whole time that it would happen.
I am so happy that they're together again, because you are one of the best live bands ever. I mean, literally ever. And you are you part? Is full-time member? Rennie full-time member?
Yeah.
Done deal?
Yeah.
Okay. She keeps us in check, to be fair. I think one of the reasons why it's working so well is because she's here. And that's no lie.
And it's not like, again, it's not like a Zen master. Is that like teaching from behind? Just her presence is enough.
I think so.
Soft power, baby.
Yeah, come on. Oh, well, I'm so excited for you. We have new tracks available to listen to. Two new tracks are on the album. Razor What is the album. The tour is selling now. It's been selling from 9 a.m. again. The sold-out dates already, with five additional dates at the beginning of April. What between now and then? What are you going to do between now and April as a unit?
We're figuring it out. I think, hopefully we'll get in rehearsal, do some, you know, write some more stuff, you know, hopefully. Rennie's in America, Carl's in Sweden, so it's quite hard to get us all in the same room.
Say, why don't we just all go on vacation somewhere and write the songs?
That'd be nice. Andy, how do you feel about the next few months? Similar?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't wait for that tour. I think, you know, we've been doing quite a lot this last year, and I think we'll put out some more music in the new year. I'm going to bugger off and do a quick tour with Katie Tunstall. Johnny's got his band that he's off doing. Carl's
off
over in Sweden.
Jealous Nostril. You know, you're doing the Snowman.
Doing the Snowman and Snow Dog, yes, next week at the Theatre Royal Drury Lane. Thanks, Johnny.
Superb. All right. Katie was in. She talked about that, actually, a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, can we say thanks to Katie for the guitar as well? She gave me a guitar the other day. Amazing.
She?
Yeah. So thank you, Katie.
She's a very nice lady.
Yeah. Was super cool.
Okay. Great to have you back, guys.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
All right, Simon's with us now. Simon Fowler, who is a nailed-on absolute musical genius. He's also a lovely human being. Simon Fowler and Danielle Rachel have come up with One for the Road, the life and lyrics of Simon Fowler and Ocean Colosseum. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. It's gorgeous. It's the kind of book you want to smell and stroke. And then after all that, you can then start to read it. There's songs, there's stories, of TFI Friday. We just about make it. The stories behind the songs are amazing. They're fascinating. You have the handwritten lyrics from Simon here. You have this Vernon Kay / Frank Spencer / Roger Daltrey lookalike on the front cover. Simon claims this is him. Is that right, Si?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I used to
be. God, you were gorgeous.
Yeah.
I still think you're gorgeous.
Thank you very much. That's very, very kind.
But at least you've been handsome. Some of us have never even been handsome. Vassos remains he remains very action man-like in the corner. How is it to still be handsome?
I don't think I'm handsome, but I do feel a bit like an action man having been in the Serpentine this morning.
Ah, I used to be on Radio 5, used to do the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
he used
right.
to do the sport.
To you. By the way, Alexander.
That's it.
Yeah, right.
Simon's only just
nice
met
to meet
him.
You. Hello.
And he's already nailed the fact he used to do the sport.
Yeah.
Simon, if you can figure out what he does now, that would be great.
Because yes. You let me know.
So, Simon, in your book, page 48, the first song, The Circle. Tell us about The Circle, then we'd love to hear it, please.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about it, really. It's one of my favourite songs I wrote, and it's one of those songs that took about as long to write as it does to sing. And those are often the best ones, I think, the ones. And you think, how the hell did I do that?
Are they few and far between? Are they like ships in the night?
Yeah. Oh, and how you do it, I don't know. I really
says
don't
here
know.
In your handwritten font here, one of my best songs. This was written as a ballad in '93. Steve pointed out the errors of my ways, and it became a single. Happy boys, happy. Simon gave me one of the best quotes ever about life. Right, we were sitting in the pub. I think it was the Nag's Head in Belgravia. I think it was. Can't remember. And we're sitting there. We both drinking. Cooking lager. We used to call it cooking lager, which is session ale, which means you can just 3%, something like that, isn't it? We're sitting there. Do you remember what you said to me about drinking, why we drink? Do you remember?
No.
Because I said to you, I said, why are we doing this? You know, because we were enjoying it. But I said, why are we doing this, Si? And we were tied on for a good few hours, I reckon. And Simon said to me, you won't remember this either, because you're too profound for your own good sometimes. He said, look, Chris, the thing is, by the age of two, we've learnt to walk and talk. What are we going to do after that? And it's true. And when you have a few too many, what do you lose the ability to do? You lose the ability to walk and talk. And so in a way, you regain your greatness. You have a chance to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's all about regression, is it? Yeah.
Reverse engineering.
Yeah. Do you think if you drink enough, you can end up back in the womb?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe. Yeah. And you're back in the womb. All right, Si, do us a favour. Sing the circle.
Okay, you're right.
Off you go.
Saturday afternoon, sunshine pours like wine through your window. This is how it feels when the world means nothing at all.
I know. I know. It's the best. It's the best. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Why are you crying?
It's beautiful.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. It is. So you don't know this, but
I don't think I've ever made a girl cry before.
Well, you know, plenty of boys cry, this one included. So when you were sound checking, I had to leave because I did the same thing. What is it? What is it about that? What is it about in between the lines, in between the lyrics? You know,
because everybody's felt like that. It speaks to everyone.
Because music is what feelings sound like.
Hmm. I'm stop crying now.
Good.
Oh, dear me.
It's great, isn't it? It's cool, man. Simon and his mates in Ocean Colour Scene played at the pilot, on the pilot of TFI Friday. It was an interesting experience, wasn't it, Simon? Mm. There are a few wrinkles that needed to be ironed out.
Yes, yeah, there was. Yeah, I remember I came, I asked you afterwards if you'd be our road manager because, yeah, you know, whatever. How to get people to do what you want.
Well, yeah. It was interesting, wasn't it? Because you witnessed me trying to iron out those creases.
Yes.
And you said, you wouldn't be our manager, would you? And do you know what? I would have done it if I had time.
We thought you were joking at first, actually, yeah, with your crew, but it transpired
well,
that you weren't.
Well, you know, yeah, it was a currency of conversation that seemed to work at the time. And that was the memory for me. My biggest memory, I suppose, with Ocean Colour Scene was when you invited me to go to Glasgow to Tea in the Park and I watched you from the stage. That was a gig and a half, wasn't it? Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember. I remember playing Tea in the Park was always great for us, Glasgow. It's sort
awesome.
Of our spiritual home in a strange way.
It was. Your set that day, it was early evening, it might be the best I've ever seen. And not that it matters, comparison is the thief of all joy and things like that, but I just remember thinking, this might be... Because you let me sit at the back of the stage just behind Oscar's drum kit. I remember thinking, this might be what it would have been like to sit behind the Stones in period. It was that good. It was that awesome. Do you love performing? Is it something that floats your boat? You're very good at it, but do you like it?
Yeah, I do. I can't dance as much as I used to.
Yeah. You gave very good tambourine, I remember.
Very good, yeah, shaker tambourine, yeah. I could, those bells, I'd be champion on them bells, yeah.
Yeah, your inner percussive demons were coming out, weren't they? Okay, if you're enjoying this, you need to get onto oceancolourscene.com to order a copy of this book, One for the Road, The Life and Lyrics of Simon Fowler and Ocean Colour Scene. It's a book that you can stroke, it's a book that you'll put on your nightstand by your bed and you'll just dip into it. You can dip in or you can dig deep. That's a Danny Baker phrase, by the way. Dip in or dig deep. All the best books in the world are dippable or diggable, you know, depending on what kind of mood you're in. Because he gave me, I think it was the first edition, it was a special edition of Oscar Wilde, which book would it have been? A Picture of Dorian Gray. And it on the you know when you can write a little message, mm-hmm, he said for one of my best friends, dip in or dig deep, enjoy. And then, by the way, if you've never read that book, that's off the chain.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the podcast of the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. Don't forget you can subscribe and get it every week from wherever you get your podcast, and you will never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from our Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.